What's up, guys? What's going on? I'm Paul. This is Pauline Theology's Daily Devotional, man. And we are with Trust in Jesus Ministries doing some cool stuff here in Genesis because, man, it's cool looking back and seeing the patriarchs and how the whole religion, the whole thing started, man. And it's good to know the history because the history informs us of what was done so that we know how we can live because of that. I mean, that's what we're seeing really is the faithfulness of God, the trustworthiness of God, the grace and compassion of God, and how it was with the patriarchs, the original ones. And now we can know that this is the same way he's going to treat us, the same way that he is going to be with us. So that's why it's so important to be reading these things and trying to comprehend it, man. And I'm glad you guys are reading with me, and I'm glad you're reading daily. That's important, too, because every day you got to eat, right? You got to eat every day. Every day you got to feast. If you don't eat, man, then that's when you start dying. It's called starvation. And so we need the same thing with the scriptures. We feast daily on the scriptures so that we can grow strong in the knowledge of who he is, which makes us strong in our lives to destroy the wiles of Satan. So I'm glad you guys are with me. We're in Genesis 28, 16 through 19. And last episode, we were on the vision that he had with the ladder and the angels going up and down. And we talked about how Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the bridge between us and God. And so now we're going to see the response of Jacob as he has awakened from this dream state. Read 28, 16 through 19. If you haven't, then stop the tape, check it out, see what it has to say. If not, man, we're going to go ahead and see what it has to say for us. Matter of fact, just what it has to say, and then apply it to our lives. So what is it actually saying? What's the author actually writing? What's actually written? It said that Jacob woke up from his sleep, man, and he said, dude, surely God is in this place, and I didn't even know it, man. I didn't even know it. And it said, and he had a fear. And he said, what an amazing place this is. It says, is this not the house of God and the gates of heaven? And said that he awoke early the next morning, man, and he took that stone that he had laid his head on, you know, for a pillow, and he used it as a pillar. I read an author, and he says, a pillow becomes a pillar. And so he takes that pillow that he had and made it in a pillar for a remembrance of this place, man. It says, because, dude, he said God was in this place, man. And so he called this place Bethel, the house of God. It says, because beforehand it used to be called Luz. Man, what an encounter with God, right? So what should we glean about who God is from what we actually know happened in the scriptures? Well, I think we should see that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Sometimes we go to places and we think God is not here, but he is. His presence is everywhere. Surely God is in this place and we did not even know it, man. So the thing is, maybe we should be opening our eyes. Now, God revealed to him, he was shown his presence, but we should be aware of his presence, being in tune with who he is, especially if we are in Christ. If you're listening to this and you don't know Christ right now, if you're not walking in Christ, man, I pray that you would trust in him because he is infinitely worthy of trust. But if you are and you do trust in him and you're living in him, then you know that he is in you. So everywhere you go, he is there. But particularly here, God was in the building. He's in places, the places you would least expect him to be. He'll show up, man. He will show up. What's this say about man? Well, there's a little bit that is said about this here is that the encounter that God has with all the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Abraham and Isaac never stated that they feared God. Now, they did fear God, obviously, because when the Lord appeared to them, he said, fear not. So there was a fear that was in them. But I think that the reason that Jacob is stated to have feared God, to have a fear of God when he appeared to him, is because Jacob was in a different state of mind as he was living his life. So Isaac and Abraham were walking with God, and they were trying to walk before him, as the Lord said to Abraham, "Walk before me, man, in truth." And so they weren't stated to have feared God, yet they did, because it said, "Fear not." But I think the statement of fear happens for Jacob because his life was not characteristic. And right now, up to now, his life is not characteristic of the patriarchs, man. He is a deceiver. He is stealing, taking, dishonest, doing wrong. And so when God appears to him, when Yahweh appears to him, bro, I think he recognizes his sinful nature before this holy God. And so I don't want to say that is exactly what it is, but I think that we can glean from this that truth, because the author states for a specific reason why Jacob has this fear. I mean, not why, but that he has this fear. And so I think the reason why is the characteristic of his life. And so when we go before a holy God, when we are before the presence of God, it should have an effect on us, man. We should fear God. As men, we are not even able to stand before his presence because of our sin and because he is holy and sinless. And that should resonate in our minds. The presence of God should change us. But not only did the presence of God change us, it made him take action, man. It made him take action. It says that he took that pillar and he took that pillow and made a pillar, right? He set up a stone, and it made him call this place the house of God, because it was just such an amazing thing to see God descending, or not God, but the angels of heaven descending up and down this ladder, and God being there, his presence being there. So he said it was a house of God in the gates of heaven. How can we apply these truths to our lives, man? Well, I think first off, we need to take a look at our sin in our life, and then look at it in reflection of who God is and his righteousness. Now, don't stop there, though. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm not trying to put you down. But the reason why I am saying this is because I want to show you the infinite mercy, the infinite grace, the infinite love, like this abundant and rich and outpouring and lavish love and grace that God has for us, because our sin is bad. It is wrong. And the only way to understand and see how great God's love is to recognize that we have sinned, that we do fall short, that we're not made to the glory that God had originally made us to. And so if we look at that, take a look at that, just take an honest look at our sin, but then judge it in the light of God's grace. Man, see how wonderful and how marvelous God's grace is. Now read the scriptures, because that's how we're going to know even more how beautiful God is. Read the scriptures. And when God speaks to us, we should be making a response too. So that's another application. And in the scriptures is how he speaks to us. And how he came to a vision with Jacob here, it changed him. He responded differently. We're going to see more about how Jacob responds in the next episode. But right now, I just want us to take the thing to look at that scripture as we hear it, and then change, like take action, because that's what he does. The first thing he does says that he picked up that stone, made a pillar, and change the name of the city to the house of God, because he recognized God was there. So let us do the same. When we see the scriptures, let us recognize that it is God's word, and let it cause us to move to action. I appreciate you guys for listening. I'll see you in the next episode.